Zechariah chapter 10. Title of today's message is Showers of Blessing. There was a hymn called Showers of Blessing, and the tune just kind of kept going through my head the whole time I was preparing this message, and that's where the title came out of. And we look at showers, a lot of times, some of us that work outside and stuff, I always worked outside, and I used to look at rain as being that thing that hampered me from being able to do my work. It says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And I used to think, yeah, the unjust get that rain too to hurt them. The rain isn't to hurt us. Even though it might disrupt our outdoor activities a little bit, the rain is to help us. I want you to imagine a world where it never rained again. I want you to imagine what happens when God withholds his blessing of that nourishing rain. Just look at the Sahara Desert and you'll see it. That's what the whole planet Earth would look like if we never had any rain. How would we eat? How would we have blessing? How could we be fruitful in a physical way? And I just want you to know there were times in Israel where that actually happened. There were times in Israel when God withheld the blessing of rain. In the time of Elijah, it didn't rain for 3.5 years because of their sin. You know, a lot of people make excuses and we say, well, it's man-made climate change now. That's what we call it. Well, it is at times kind of a man-made problem. It's called sin. And because of our sin, sometimes God withhold blessings. Sometimes he just wants us to turn to him and he wants us to ask him to be the one to provide. And so remember now, in the book of Zechariah, this is after the first group had returned to rebuild the temple and they had gotten very discouraged after a 70-year exile, which was definitely a discipline from the hand of the Lord because of their sin and because of them turning away from him, turning to other gods, being idolatrous, not listening to God. Do any of these things sound familiar about maybe our culture today? I think that oftentimes we can find ourselves repeating history if we're not careful. But today we're going to be looking at just a reminder from God. If we read the companion book not too long ago on an evening service, Haggai, and we saw that because they had stalled out in their rebuilding of the temple, which is what God sent them back to do, for 16 years they were stalled out. And because of that, God had withheld the blessing of fruitfulness. And they were rebuilding their own houses and doing their own thing, but they weren't doing anything to rebuild the temple anymore. And so from the time that they affirmed what the prophet Haggai had said and started the rebuilding of the temple process again in the book of Haggai, it says, now I am returning the blessing of faithfulness. Guys, we need the blessing of fruitfulness because they were willing to actually listen and respond to God. Guys, what God wants to see in our lives is faith. That's really what he wants to see. He just wants to see that our actions match the things that we are saying. So we say we believe, but what do our actions look like? And in the book of Zechariah, which is the companion, they were contemporary prophets speaking during the same time period to the same people. Zechariah's ministry was a little longer than Haggai's. And Zechariah is following up with this message from the Lord in chapter 10. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word this morning. We're going to read chapter 10 and then we'll break it down. Ask the Lord for rain. In the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. For the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the goat herd. For the Lord of hosts will visit his flock, the house of Judah, and make them as his royal horse in the battle. From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together. They shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on the horses shall be put to shame. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back because I have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. I will sow them among the peoples. They shall remember me in far countries. They shall live together with their children, and they shall return. I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no more room is found for them. He shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the river shall dry up. Then the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Father, I pray for that kind of blessing on us as a people now. I pray that we could see you high and lifted up and working on behalf of those who are your children, Lord, and that we would live like your children, that we would be lifting you up, that we would be faithful in building your house today. And Lord, we know that it's a very, very different calling that we have, what your house is. The house that we build today is not just a physical temple building, but Lord, you have a spiritual house that's being built up. And each one of us are like a stone in that house. And Lord, you want us to be a part of adding more and more and more each and every day. As we live for you, as we love you, as we actually show that you are our hope, you are our glory. Lord, you're drawing others to come along. And I pray, Lord, that as we come and we see a need, that we will come into your presence and we will ask. Your scripture is very clear that we have not, for we ask not. In the book of James it says, or we ask of wrong motives that we might spend it on our own pleasures. Oh Lord, but that we should ask, and we should ask of a heart that wants to see you lifted up and glorified. That's your desire. And so Lord, please bless us today as we look at this, that when they needed rain, you said ask for it. And you would give it and even beyond. So, Lord, I pray for showers of blessing today in our lives. Help us to have a great revival in our day. Oh, Lord, rain down your Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can all have a seat. And as we break this down, we're going to see that God is the only one capable of sustaining us, guys. In the times that they had hard times, God's saying, when you have a need, come to me. When you have a need, ask me. And you know what's so awesome about our God is when we ask for our immediate needs, you know what? He desires to give even more. That's what's so amazing about our God. I remember whenever I finally came to salvation, all I was really asking for is that he would remove that feeling of guilt and give me peace. Because I felt a complete lack of peace. And what I found was, God not only did that, but he showed me he was giving me eternal life. Guys, I came because of the discontent that was in my heart. I asked God to remove that. And you know what God did? He not only removed that, but he gave me a vision of eternity. He showed me that he was actually building a place for me in heaven. John 14 is for you if you're a believer in Christ. He says, you come to me. You ask, and you know what? I'll give even more than you ask. They were just asking for rain, And he said, not only are you going to get rain, but you're going to get like a deluge of rain. You're going to get so much that it's going to grow, that the grass in the fields will be for everyone. Guys, I want us to know that whenever we see that there's a need, let's ask God first. You see, the sad thing was, in earlier days, they had gone to these idols and asked for what they were needing. You know what? The idols can't give us nothing. They're just false gods that are placed there by Satan, who, what does he come to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. You know, he'll promise a lot, but deliver nothing except for pain, guilt, shame, and then accusing us later on. Oh, he's good at it. And he's got lots of helpers. They rebelled with him and were thrown down out of heaven to earth. And here's the thing, guys. All those idols, they just speak a delusion. All those diviners, they just envision lies. They tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. And you know what it does? It sends God's people astray. Just like sheep gone astray. You know, a lot of it is that they're in trouble because there's no shepherd to help them. And in this day, we got to know, this is pre-Christmas, so to speak. This is before Jesus came. This is speaking of the good shepherd who was going to come. But you know what? It still matters that he worked through his under-shepherds. And he calls his people to be of some sort involved in that process, because we're the ones with the information, amen? We need to stand in, and we need to be what we need to be. In this church, we have an under-shepherd, and that's me that has answered the call to be the under-shepherd at this church. But I don't work alone. I'm not the only minister in this church. We all are ministers, and God's called us all to be priests. And to serve the people around us and show them the way in whatever way we can. You know why everybody's just going their own way right now? It's because, honestly, the church has stepped aside and we're not doing our part. It's time for us to do our part. And I know sometimes we're going to be accused, but I'm just going to ask you, who can send the rain? Only God can send the rain. He's the only one. He just says, ask him. Ask the Lord for rain. And here's the deal. He's going to give even more than what we ask for. That's just the nature of our God. He's generous. He is awesome in every way. You know, the shepherds failed to lead. Therefore, the good shepherd came. This is a prophecy speaking of how he was going to... He was going to come to shepherd his flock. It says, my anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the goatherds, but for the Lord of hosts will visit his flock. Oh, yes. Praise God. Who is he going to come through? The house of Judah. And will make them as his royal horse in battle. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we have been put here as followers of Christ. He has opened our eyes to salvation so that he uses us in the battle. He's got a purpose for us that goes beyond just us ending up in heaven. That's not the entire purpose that he saved us for. That's our blessing that we receive. But you see, he's got a purpose that's even greater. Your purpose starts the moment that you believe, the moment that you desire to follow Christ, and he is your Lord and he's your Savior. And it's so amazing the way that he flows his blessing through his people. Here's the thing, guys. Judah was going to be the one who the good shepherd was going to come through. And he is from the line of Judah, amen? And so the good shepherd is also the cornerstone, the tent peg, and the battle bow. You see, they asked for a shepherd. They got a shepherd, but the shepherd was even more than just the good shepherd. Amen? You ask, and you're going to receive more than what you asked for. You see, he's the cornerstone. He's what every one of our lives needs to be built on. Amen? I don't know how many of you guys have ever built something, but like if you don't get the foundation right, the rest of the building ain't going to fit. Things are not going to go well. If that foundation's not rock solid, what are you going to have in the end? Jesus spoke of it. He said, those who hear my words and don't do them are like the foolish people who build their house on sand. What happens if you build your house on sand? It's gonna settle. And he said, whenever it rains and the floods come, guess what? It's going to wash the house away. But he wants us to build our house on the rock. He is the rock. Guys, everything in your household needs to be consistent with what God wants it to look like, with Jesus being the reason. Jesus being the reason for why we pray before we eat. Jesus being the reason for the conversations that we have. Jesus being the reason for the way we go about making our living. Jesus being the reason for why we raise our children. Jesus being the reason for the discussions that we choose to have. Jesus being the reason for everything in our lives. He's that cornerstone. He's also that tent peg. There was a lot of discussion about what's a tent peg. Well, I don't know. It seems pretty obvious to me. I've stayed in a tent for prolonged periods of time before. What happens when you don't have the peg driven solidly into the ground? The whole tent folds up. He's not just the foundation, but he's the thing that holds the structure up. And from him also, from Judah, was going to come this one who was the good shepherd, the cornerstone, the tent peg, and our protection. He's the battle bow. Guys, I'm going to tell you, before I knew Christ, I had an entirely different viewpoint of how to what was my protection in life. But what I know is Jesus is my protection. And I praise God that I can see that now. In fact, he's gone to the cross for me to make a way for me to live with him forever. Man, you know what else he's going to do? He's going to take care of my right now. However he wants to take care of me, he can do that. That's why we don't have to fear death anymore, because Jesus has it. He's our battle bow. He's our protection. And you know, as we look and we follow this text along, we begin to see that not only is our good shepherd the cornerstone, the tent peg, and the battle bow, but he actually came first to Judah. He came through Judah, but he came to Judah. That's where his ministry began. And so he came to strengthen the house of Judah. He also came then to Israel. He came to save the house of Joseph. Joseph was, he had a son named Ephraim, and he was one of the tribes of Judah that is discussed oftentimes to describe the divided kingdom, Israel. Okay? Many times it's synonymous, Ephraim. But it says that, you know, this is saying he came first to the tribe of Judah, then to the tribe of Israel. And you know what else? We always want to remember, it wasn't because they were so great. It wasn't because they were so good. If you read the stories, you'll say, man, if this is God's people, are you kidding me? It was because of his mercy and his grace. So he came to them first, and it was completely an act of grace and mercy. He says, I will bring them back because I have mercy on them. Do you know if you're saved today, it's only because of God's grace and mercy. It's not because you were good enough. It wasn't because you were smart enough. It wasn't because you, in your own sovereign ability, decided one day, you know what, I need a Savior, and I think I'm going to go out and look for him, and I think I'll just somehow or another decide that that's Jesus. No, it's because Jesus himself has reached out to you because of his sovereign grace and mercy. I don't know what means that he used. Everybody's story looks a little different. That's what's so awesome about your personal testimonies. I like, Steve gave his testimony not too long ago. Had a man witness to him while he was in the Navy on a ship. And he told him, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How many years was it? Like 7 years later, you wind up promising some guy you're going to read the Bible. You see John 14:6 on the back of somebody's shirt at a ball game and thought, well, that's a Bible verse. I'll go home and read that. Guess what it is? For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The very verse that had been told to him 7 years later. You know who put all of that wonderful cocktail together? God did. Did Steve have a decision to make? Absolutely. But Jesus gave him all the evidence necessary. And you know, here's the thing. God is sovereign, and he is doing it out of his mercy, out of his grace. His grace gives us what we don't deserve, and his mercy doesn't give us what we do deserve. We all deserve hell. But you see, guys, he came for Judah first and Israel, and he came because of his mercy. And you know what? He says right here that he hears the prayers of his children. Man, we have a special position in Christ. We have the ear of our Father. In fact, in the Bible, it tells us that we have a position that we can just, not like distant Father, but Daddy. You have the position that you can call him Daddy. I just tell you, I hear other children in a crowd, but when I hear the word Dad or Daddy, I look very attentively. And if it's some other, you know, some other person's child and they're saying Daddy and I see that they have a daddy over there that they're going to, I move on with life. But whenever I see it's my child crying out to me and I'm their daddy, then I'm going to tell you, I am moved. They have my ear. They have my attention. And I can tell you, God's a lot better dad than me. So if I'm like that in a small way, God must be like it in a perfect way. So we can sit around all day long and saying, well, they ought to just pray themselves. You know, God hears everybody the same. And I'm going to say, no, he doesn't. He hears his children in a special way. Do you know what I did? Friday afternoon, I drove all the way from Friday morning to Indianapolis so that I could sit in a prayer room and pray over prayer requests that were delivered to me from a women's conference for hours. You know what I did on Saturday? I went back and did the same. And it was the most blessed opportunity. And it was like this, being in the throne room of God on behalf of my dear sisters with serious concerns on their heart that they wanted someone to pray for. And it was really interesting because I had this one, as long as I don't use names, you know, it's okay for me to just talk about the situation. But this one lady said, I don't really know that I have anything specific to pray for me about, but it would just be really nice to know that somebody's praying for me right now. You know what that said to me? She doesn't feel like she has other people praying for her during other times. And that kind of broke my heart. You know, one of the most important things we can do for one another is pray for one another. And whenever somebody, especially an unbeliever, comes and says, please pray for me, you should take that as a special call from God because you're his child. You take it seriously because you have the ear of your daddy. And you know what? He is affirming that in this very verse. He says, they shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. How much more even now through Jesus? When he hears our prayers that we come to him in the name of Jesus, he sees his precious son. It's important that we learn to pray, to be the intercessors, to be the ones going because he hears us. Jesus also, praise God, came for the Gentiles. And he wanted to use and did use his disciples as evangelists to the Gentiles. Our youth is going through Acts right now. We're in chapter 9. And for those of you that have read through Acts recently or in the past, you would know chapter 9 is the great, amazing conversion of Saul. The one we know of is Paul in the New Testament. It was the amazing apostle that God used to send out to the Gentiles. And he had chosen him for that even before Saul had answered the call to salvation. He had a purpose for why he was calling him, and it was to help call the Gentiles and also his people Israel to himself. He was one that reached out, and you know what? That's why I'm a Christian today. Literally. You just look at your New Testament, and you'll find out that man that God had chosen was used to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He had a purpose for him, and you are a Christian today, at least in part, because of the calling on Saul's life, and that he received that calling and did it with everything he had. He says in Zechariah chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, I will whistle to them and gather them. You know, I kind of liken that to what Jesus said in chapter, I forget the exact chapter number, in John. I'm sure one of you guys remember. I should have written it down, but I didn't think of it until now, where Jesus said his sheep would hear his voice and they would know him, right? And so he whistles to them and gathers them, for I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. I will sow them among the peoples, and they shall remember me in far countries. They shall live together with their children, and they shall return. You know, guys, I think he sends us out. We're supposed to be like salt, right? Have you ever eaten like nothing but salt? How does that do for you? If you ate nothing but salt, blood pressure, it would cause some major problems in your life. It'd make you thirsty, and it tastes terrible. A little bit of salt goes a long ways. And you know what he does with his people? He salts us all over the earth. And this is a special blessing when we get to come together like this and we get to kind of rub shoulders and worship together. But I'm going to tell you, this ain't your service to God. This is actually God's service to you. He's doing something for you here. It's an encouragement to one another as we meet together. But he wants to encourage you so you'll go out and be salt. And he says, if you don't do what he made you to be, salt, what good is it? Salt is supposed to be doing what it's made to be. It's supposed to be that seasoning, that preservative. It's got to be like put it right measure in things. And I got some news for you. He also shows us that it's through affliction that we're going to enter. Now, I'd like to tell you that as soon as you accept Christ, your life's going to be perfect, but I'd be lying through my teeth. Your life's not going to be perfect. But you're going to get to walk through it with the perfect one. It's going to be better because you're going to have Jesus by your side, but some of your situations won't get better. You see, it's through affliction that we're going to enter. As he calls us to himself, as we're heading in that direction through life and we're keeping our eyes on Jesus, he shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the river shall dry up. You see, he'll make a way for us. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we're going to be heading into that, and we're going to be thinking, I don't know how God's going to make a way for me. But we're called to walk anyways. We're called to go into it. You know, the rivers of the Jordan didn't dry up until they took a step. Those first priests, they had to take a step. They had to step into that water, and then God dried it up. You know, they had to be at the sea of the sea's edge there at the Red Sea crossing before they could actually experience the parting of the Red Sea to go through. Believe me, that was a trial. Whenever they could see the enemy's armies approaching, they thought they were sitting ducks. They thought there was no way we're getting out of this thing alive. And all of a sudden, in obedience, Moses raises his staff and the waters part to let them go through on dry land. And not only that, God held the army back until they had all made it through. And then he let the army go down into that same sea, and he covered over the army and destroyed them all. The same sea that was parted to let them out was the same sea that was parted to swallow up the enemy. You see, guys, we'll see it if we just have faith and keep going forward with him. He's got a purpose for us. I want you to remember what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world You will have good you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's our hope. Not that we're not going to have some struggles, but that Jesus did what was needed to overcome everything that could overtake us. We can have good cheer. And not only all of that, but I think verse 12 is there to remind us that we have got a wonderful eternity ahead of us with Jesus. Guys, on the worst day of my life, on the worst thing that could possibly happen to me, I need to know that as soon as I close my eyes in this life, the next thing that I'm going to see is Jesus. And I'm going to get to be with him forever. We have a wonderful eternity with Jesus. You look at Zechariah chapter 10, verse 12, the last slide. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. Let us look forward to that day, but let us live to the fullest on the way to that day, and let us live for the hope of helping others to make it there too. That needs to be what our life is about, and we can know whatever we ask for, God will give more. I'm going to expound just a little bit more on that shepherd thing and about how his sheep are going to know his voice and how we're going to be drawn to him, and also from Ezekiel about God's heart toward those shepherds that don't do what he's called them to do. We see a little glimpse of that in Zechariah, but if you come back tonight, we're going to look at that a little further, and so please return tonight. But what I want to encourage you to do right now is just make sure that you know he's your shepherd, that you've come to the point that you've said, Jesus, I want to follow you. You know something about a shepherd? Shepherd don't drive a sheep. A shepherd gets out in front and leads. And that's what you've signed up for. If you have answered the call to be a Christian, if you're a child of God, Jesus is your shepherd. Now I want you to keep your eyes on him and let him lead you. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you're in this thing every day, guys. I'm just going to tell you, I need it every day. In fact, I wander so bad, I need it more than once every day. And that's the thing I found about it. As soon as I got in it, as soon as I started looking, as soon as I started wanting more, I can't get enough. So I want you to ask God to cultivate in you that same kind of relationship, that same kind of desire. Be in God's word. Follow your shepherd, because he's got a plan for why he brought you to himself. And know he hears the voice of his children like none other. So let's pray. Dear God, we pray for this world that is in such confusion, Lord. They look like sheep that are without a shepherd. And Lord, let us have compassion, the same kind of compassion that you had for them. And Lord, I pray that we would see that you are the answer, and you've chosen your people to stand in the gap. This is a prime time for the gospel to go forth, to go forward in people's lives. People are wanting hope. They're wanting to know, where should we put our trust right now? Government is failing us. We know that our answer isn't going to be found just among doctors and nurses in the medicine field. We know that we have got to go to you. You may use some of these things. We see that your hand is in all of them. But Lord, we need discernment to see you first and let you guide us. So Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would help us to hear the voice of our shepherd, to know the voice of our shepherd, Lord, that we would follow our shepherd, that in every part of our life we would trust you have the answers. And Lord, that we would be willing to call out and ask, because you promise we can ask for rain, but you will send showers of blessing. It'll be greater and in more ways than what we could have ever imagined. We ask for our immediate need. Lord, oftentimes you're looking at our spiritual needs. That's the prayer that you really are going to answer. So help us to wait on you. Help us to reach out to you, and help us to know that you hear your children. In Jesus' name, amen.